This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أم حسبت أن أصحاب الكهف والرقيم كانوا من آياتنا عجبا
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم هؤلاء قوم اتخذوا من دونه آلهة لولا يأتون عليهم بسلطان بين فمن أظلم ممن افترى على الله كذبا صدق الله العظيم. So this is verse number 15 which I've just recited, and it's a continuation of the discussion of these brave, amazing and phenomenal youth. We touched on how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala empowered and inspired them, and how they were vocal, articulate, passionate and vociferous. Can you imagine against challenging the ruler of the time, who was an oppressor, who was a dictator, who was an autocrat, and going against the norm of the society? And I often say that part of the manipulation of mass media is that whenever you present an alternate view, then it is automatically interpreted as conspiracy theory. So if you don't buy into the mainstream narrative, now that's a conspiracy theory. But hang on, I'm giving you tangible evidence. I'm making a logical engagement. I'm providing you with some substance and proof. Why is an alternate view automatically interpreted as conspiracy theory? When the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam commenced the da'wah and the mission of Tawheed, the pagan Arab, the mushrikeen of Makkah frowned, scowled, objected, opposed, challenged. أَجَعَلَ الْآلِهَةَ إِلَٰهًا وَاحِدًا إِنَّ هَذَا لَشَيْءٌ عُجَابٌ. Has he condensed 360 gods into one? Unheard of, ludicrous, bizarre. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, when we talk about the courage of these youth and the valor of these youth to stand up and be firm on their value system and to face the tyrant and embrace the potential repercussion and the tyranny of this dictator, but they were convinced with their iman. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, awwalu man yajhar bil Qur'an, who mustered the courage and went in the haram and publicly recited the Qur'an. People opposed him, people attacked him, assaulted him, and he stood his grounds in proclaiming the message of the Almighty. So we spoke about how Allah gave strength, and that when Allah gives you that strength and courage, then leave alone others being startled and impressed and admiring your courage. When you look back at yourself, even you cannot believe the feat you've accomplished. It's purely through the grace and the courage and the strength that Allah endows an individual with. The dialogue between Sa'id ibn Jubayr, and Hajjaj bin Yusuf, right? Hajjaj bin Yusuf, Safak, who had claimed many, many lives, when he was summoned in the court of Hajjaj, and in a long dialogue, just to again highlight the point, how Allah gave him courage, So Hajjaj bin Yusuf asked Sa'id ibn Jubayr, أَيُّ خُلَفَاءِ بَنِي أُمَيَّ أَعْجَبُ لَكْ أَيُّ خُلَفَاءِ بَنِي أُمَيَّ أَعْجَبُ لَكْ Which Khalifa, which ruler from the Khulafa of Banu Umayyah is most impressive to you? Now this is a tricky question, this is a political question, there's implications on this question, and this has been asked by Hajjaj himself. أَيُّ خُلَفَاءِ بَنِي أُمَيَّ أَعْجَبُ لَكْ So which of the rulers of Banu Umayyah do you fancy the most? Look at the answer of Sa'id ibn Jubayr, أَرْضَاهُمْ لِخَالِقِهِمْ The one amongst them who has impressed his creator the most. The one amongst those rulers, governors, who have impressed his creator the most. فَأَيُّهُمْ أَرْضَى لِلْخَالِقِ Second question now from Hajjaj bin Yusuf. Okay, if you say the basis of being impressed with any one of them is on the grounds of impressing and obeying and complying and obliging to the commands of Allah. So let me be more specific. Which one out of them has impressed and obeyed Allah the most? Which one out of them? So Sa'id ibn Jubair replied, عِلْمُ ذَٰلِكَ عِنْدَ الَّذِي يَعْلَمُ سِرَّهُمْ وَنَجْوَاهُمْ. The knowledge of that belongs and is exclusively reserved to that being who knows their internal and their external. I cannot pronounce a judgment amongst them which one has pleased Allah the most. All I know is the one with whom Allah is the most happy. That's the one that impresses me the most. So a straight answer I cannot give you, because that's subject to their internal condition and that is only known to Allah. So then Hajjaj ibn Yusuf said, what's your opinion about me, more specifically? Ma ra'yuka fiyya? What's your opinion about me? So Sa'id ibn Jubair answered, anta a'lamu bi nafsik. You know yourself better. Why should I be telling you? Right? In different places in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala says that, balil insanu ala nafsihi basira walau alqa ma'adhira. Nay, man is watchful over himself. Although he gives arguments, he counters, somebody tells you something, and this happens typically, unfortunately, in marital feuds. Your wife tells you something or your husband tells you something. Now you got to counter it and argue against it. But you know in the heart of hearts what he's saying or she is saying, I am guilty of this. That's the reality. I am guilty of this here. But no, we got to go the defense route. We got to go the defense route. And in another verse of the Quran, Allah says in Surah Al-Adiyat that man is ungrateful. Lakanud. Wa innahu ala dhalika lashaheed. And he himself will attest to his ungrateful nature. Like, it's not I need to tell you or you need to tell me, you know for a fact. So when Hajjaj bin Yusuf asked Sa'id ibn Jubair, what's your opinion about me? Sa'id ibn Jubair said, anta a'lamu bi nafsik, you know yourself better. So Hajjaj was now getting under his skin. He was probing, he was prying, he was, you know what, digging out. He says, no, bal uridu ilmaka anta. I want to know your opinion about me. I know my opinion about myself, but that's not what I'm concerned about. You tell me what's your opinion about me. Now, can you imagine? This man is Safak. He has claimed the lives of so many people and is now provoking Sa'id ibn Jubair systematically. Sa'id ibn Jubair is being calculated. He's been euphemistic. He's been polite. He's been very, very calculated in his response. However, Hajjaj is pressing the button further and further. Bal uridu ilmak. I want your knowledge. So Sa'id ibn Jubair said, Yasu'uk wala yasurruk. If you want to know my opinion about you, then I'm afraid you won't have the courage to listen to it, because it will leave you depressed. It will leave you uneasy. It will leave you angry. You'd be in rage. So Hajjaj said, no, go for it. Tell me what's your opinion about me. So Sa'id ibn Jubair said, Inni a'lamu annaka mukhalifun li kitabillah. It's quite apparent that you blatantly disobey Allah in many matters. It's quite apparent. Inni a'lam annaka mukhalifun li kitabillah, that you go against the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Hajjaj bin Yusuf said, idhan aqtulak, then I will slay you, then I will execute you, then I will behead you. So Sa'id ibn Jubair said, إِذَنْ تُفْسِدَ عَلَيَّ دُنْيَايَ وَأُفْسِدَ عَلَيْكَ آخِرَتَكَ. If you kill me innocently, because you've asked me a question and I've responded to it, and then you kill me because of that, then you will destroy my worldly life and I will destroy your latter life. Allahu Akbar. You will destroy my life on earth. You'll kill me and you will, you know what, inflict harm on me in this world. وَأُفْسِدَ عَلَيَّ آخِرَتَكَ, and I will destroy your latter life. Can you imagine? وَرَبَطْنَا, this is strength, this is courage. Generally, when you need a favor or somebody can pose a threat, you're intimidated by him. And now you buckle under pressure. آخِرُ سَهْمٍ فِي كِنَانَةِ الْمُلُوكِ. The last arrow in a king's quiver is violence. And obviously his opponent more than often will succumb to that threat of his, because he cannot retort in a like manner. So Hajjaj bin Yusuf then said to Sa'id ibn Jubayr, اختر لنفسك أي قتلة تريد. اختر لنفسك. Okay, decide how you would prefer that I should kill you. Decide how you would prefer that I would kill you. So Sa'id ibn Jubayr said, no, let me rephrase it. بل اخترها أنت لنفسك. فوالله ما تقتلني قتلة إلا قتلك الله بها في الآخرة. No. I'm not going to decide how you should kill me, whether you want to hang me or you want to give me an electric chair or you want to kill me in any other way. You decide how you want retribution in Akhirah, because the manner in which you would kill me, accordingly retribution would be executed against you. So why don't you decide? Why don't you decide how you want to be punished in Akhirah? So he said, okay, do you want me to forgive you and pardon you? So Sa'id ibn Jubayr said, إِن كَانَ عَفْوٌ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ أَمَّا مِنْكَ فَلَا. If in the end this thing, gets cancelled and there's a pardon process, then that pardon will be from Allah and not from you. That pardon will be from Allah and not from you. فَغَضِبَ الْحَجَّاجِ. He became angry. And he said, السَّيْفُ يَا غُلَامُ. O slave, bring the sword. So as the sword was brought and he was flexing his muscle and his clout, Sa'id ibn Jubayr smiled. Can you imagine a smile in the face of death? A smile in the face of an imminent death coming your way. So Hajjaj bin Yusuf said, وَمَا تَبَسُّمُكَ. What makes you smile? So Sa'id ibn Jubayr said, عَلَى جَرَاءَتِكَ وَحِلْمِ اللَّهِ لَكَ. Ala jara'atika, I'm smiling at your arrogance, your haughtiness, your pride, your aggression, and I am marveling at the respite and the grace and the clemency of Allah towards you. I am marveling at the clemency of Allah towards you. Anyway, they decide, and he says, bring the sword and let's strike him. So just before they're about to strike him, he says, إِنِّي وَجَّهْتُ وَجْهِيَ لِلَّذِي فَطَرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ حَنِيفًا وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. A verse of the 7th Juz, Surah Al-An'am. إِنِّي وَجَّهْتُ. Verily I have focused myself, my being, my face towards Allah. لِلَّذِي the being فَطَرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Who is the creator of the heavens and the earth. حَنِيفًا, exclusively to him. وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. And I am not from amongst the polytheists. So Hajjaj bin Yusuf said that turn him away from Qibla. Turn him away, divert him from Qibla. So Sa'id ibn Jubayr then recited the ayah, فَأَيْنَمَا تُوَلُّوا فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ فَأَيْنَمَا تُوَلُّوا فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ. That Allah is not confined to any direction or any angle. Wherever you turn, Allah is there. So Hajjaj bin Yusuf said, drop him on the ground. So as they dropped him on the ground, Sa'id ibn Jubayr said, مِنْهَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ وَفِيهَا نُعِيدُكُمْ وَمِنْهَا نُخْرِجُكُمْ تَارَةً أُخْرَى. We've created you from sand, and we'll return you to sand, and we will resurrect you to sand. And when he said this, ya Hajjaj bin Yusuf said, this man has incapacitated me. I have no answer to this, ya. And he struck him. And just about in the last minute before he struck him, Sa'id ibn Jubayr raised his hands and he said, Allahumma la tusallit al-hajjaj ala ahad ba'di. Allah, let me be the last victim. Let me be the last victim of Hajjaj. And after that, he doesn't have access over any person. Sa'id ibn Jubayr passed away. 15 days later, Hajjaj became unwell and sick, and he had this severe fever, and he would go into a coma and then he would recover. And then when Hajjaj passed away, someone seen him in a dream and asked him, how did you fare before Allah? He said, قَتَلَنِي بِكُلِّ قَتِيلٍ قَتَلْتُهُ قَتْلَةً وَقَتَلَنِي بِسَعِيدِ ابْنِ جُبَيْرٍ سَبْعِينَ قَتْلًا. That in lieu of every unjust killing that I perpetrated, I was subjected to one murder. I was subjected to death once. Rather, let me rephrase that. In lieu of every unjust killing that I perpetrated, I was subjected to death once. I went through the pain and the agony, because of course in Akhirah there is no death, but you'll go through the pain and the process. لا يقضى عليهم فيموتوا وقتلني بسعيد بن جبير 70 قتلا. And because of claiming the life of Sa'id ibn Jubayr, I was subjected to the agony of death 70 times. The point I intended speaking about here was the courage and the confidence that Allah had given him. So with regards to these youth, right? In verse 14, we spoke about it. Rabatna, we strengthened it. In Ruh al-Bayan, it is mentioned, Sakannaha anit tazalzuli, mimma amsakna fiha min al-yaqeen. That Allah had placed strength, iman, conviction. And at that critical moment, Allah kept them strong. So many a times, you master the courage. I'm going to tell this person, or I'm going to proclaim this year, or I'm going to be articulate about this year, or I'm going to be explicit and I'm not going to be vague. I need to say it. But at that moment, when pressure mounts upon you, you kind of change your tune, you mellow down, you soften up, you change the whole approach. No. أَمْسَكْنَاهَا عَنِ التَّزَلْزُلِ أَمْسَكْنَاهَا عَنِ التَّزَلْزُلِ. We continue with the discussion and the maqula of these amazing youth. Verse number 15, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala quoting the continuation of the discussion of these youth. And remember, this is in the presence of the king, as historical narration suggests. The Quran just says that they mention رَبُّنَا رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. So they go on to say, هَاُولَاءِ قَوْمُنَا اتَّخَذُوا. This is our nation. هَاُولَاء, here is our people. اتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِهِ آلِهَا. Who have made others as their gods, their deities, their partners, their isms besides Allah. So they have made objects, items, carving things, etc. And they said, this is our God, we worship it. لَوْلَا يَأْتُونَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِسُلْطَانٍ بَيِّنٍ. لَوْلَا يَأْتُونَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِسُلْطَانٍ بَيِّنٍ. Why can they not produce evidence and testimony and support to the argument? So we're telling you our Lord is the Lord of the heavens and the earth, and we're giving you proof He's created this year. You're creating and carving an idol and an object, and then you're worshiping it. Give us proof. Give us proof. Right? Allama Nasafi writes in Madarik al-Tanzil, in Surah Taghabun, in the 28th juz of the Quran. So amazing, under this verse. فَقَالُوا أَبَشَرٌ يَهْدُونَنَا فَكَفَرُوا وَتَوَلَّوا وَاسْتَغْنَ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ غَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ. That the polytheists, amongst their objections that they leveled against the Prophet ﷺ, was, أَبَشَرٌ يَهْدُونَنَا. Is it a human that is guiding us? Like, there's, according to them, there's disparity and this dichotomy between a mortal and prophethood. How can the station of prophethood be conferred upon a mortal? فَقَالُوا, they said, what? Bashar, human. يَهْدُونَنَا, meaning the jinns of prophets. Are they guiding us? Prophets are guiding us? Like, this is very strange, unheard of. So he writes so amazingly, أَنْكَرُوا رِسَالَةَ الْبَشَرِ وَمَا أَنْكَرُوا عِبَادَةَ الْحَجَرِ. They found it difficult to process for a mortal to be a prophet, but they were quite comfortable embracing the theory that stone is a deity. Let me say this again. They found it strange to absorb, to process, to embrace, to accept, to believe that a human is a prophet. Like, he's a mortal. How can mortality, a mortal, a human, be paired up with prophethood? For prophet, it needs to be angelic and not a human. So that is something for them was like, you know, a question mark, a red flag. But then an object and a stone and an idol being a god made perfect sense to them. فَقَالُوا أَبَشَرٌ يَهْدُونَنَا فَكَفَرُوا وَتَوَلَّوا وَاسْتَغْنَ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ غَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ. لَوْلَا يَأْتُونَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِسُلْطَانٍ بَيِّنٍ. Why don't they give any proof? And whenever they were asked for proof, what was their proof? مَا وَجَدْنَا عَلَيْهِ آبَاءَنَا. Well, we've seen our forefathers and our ancestors doing this here. So these youth then concluded by saying, فَمَنْ أَضْلَمُ مِمَّنِ افْتَرَى عَلَى اللَّهِ كَذِبًا. Then who can be more unjust than the one who invents and fabricates a lie against Allah? If you fabricate a lie against me as my child, against my against his father, then that is really heinous. That is really evil. You fabricate a lie against your friend, your sibling, your brother. It's bad, it's wicked, it's nasty. But the greater the profile of the person, the more evil and the more heinous the offense is, right? How can you make your dad a liar? How can you make your teacher a liar? Can you imagine the one who's accusing the Almighty? The one who's accusing the Almighty, you are accusing because if you're saying that we need to worship this year, then you are subtly implying that Allah has endorsed it, because the rights of worship belongs to Allah. The rights of halal and haram belong to Allah. وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَا تَصِفُ أَلْسِنَتُكُمُ الْكَذِبَ هَذَا حَلَالٌ وَهَذَا حَرَامٌ. Do not just say with your tongues, this is permissible or this is impermissible, because in essence, you are conveying a verdict on behalf of the Sharia. You need to appreciate the gravity of that pronouncement, how colossal a task it is upon you before you pronounce that judgment. And likewise, when you want to pronounce a statement of disbelief against someone, that person has turned renegade or apostate, you are taking on a very, very serious responsibility or a colossal task upon yourself. It is better, it is always better to err on the side of precaution and call someone a Muslim than to call someone a non-Muslim. You rather err and say, I think, you know what, this makes him a Muslim, than to err on the side of blatantly calling someone a disbeliever. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the correct understanding. So anyway, coming back to this point that I was saying here, these youth are saying, where's the proof? Where's the proof? وَمَنْ يَدْعُ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخر لَا بُرْهَانَ لَهُ بِهِ فَإِنَّمَا حِسَابُهُ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِ. So that concludes verse number 15. And now the question was, the king said, okay, we're giving you some time, reflect over it, and then we will revisit this whole story of yours and summon you again. Now, this was an apparent, supposed, outward provision of respite and grace. But in the greater happenings of things, this was the will of the Almighty. And this was the facilitation of هَيِّئْ لَنَا مِنْ أَمْرِنَا رَشَدًا آتِنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً. It was mercy from Allah. It was facilitation from Allah. It was intervention from Allah. So the king said to them, and that's what I concluded on yesterday, that let's see what happens, because now, you know what, there's a threat out. The king is going to flex his muscle. He said to these youth, and immediately, according to historical narrations, he said that they will be stripped of their garb and their robe and their royal association. Their royal association, because coming from a prominent family with prominence, that will be stripped off. Your privileges will be taken away. But we will give you some time, sleep over the matter, and then we will revisit it. So these youth now withdraw. They withdraw from the community. It's the news now that they have opposed the community and they move one side. And the Quran takes us into that discussion exactly. And that is verse number 16, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذِ اعْتَزَلْتُمُوهُمْ وَمَا يَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. And remember the time, this is a mutual discussion. Verse number 16. وَإِذِ اعْتَزَلْتُمُوهُمْ. The youth are talking amongst themselves and they're saying to each other, when you have separated yourselves from them, اِعْتَزَلَ يَعْتَزِلُ اِعْتِزَال. أَعْتَزِلُكُمْ وَمَا تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ وَأَدْعُوا رَبِّي. I just have a flash now of verse number or chapter 19 in the 16th juz in Surah Maryam, when Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam tried to reach out to his dad, but his dad did not respond. And then he said, I am parting ways with you and I'm moving on. So the youth now spoke amongst themselves and they said, listen, we've moved away from them, as in physically disassociated ourselves. We have denounced their belief system. We've proclaimed our belief system. Now that we've moved away, we need to find a place that is suitable and that is conducive for us. وَإِذْ and when اِعْتَزَلْتُمُوهُمْ, you have withdrawn and moved away. وَمَا يَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, and you've moved away from their deities but Allah. In Arabic grammar, you'll refer to this as مُسْتَثْنَى مُنْقَطِعْ, مُسْتَثْنَى مُنْقَطِعْ, because Allah is separate and is not part of their deities whom they worship. وَمَا يَعْبُدُونَ, and you have withdrawn from their gods and their deities, إِلَّا اللَّهُ, but from Allah you have not withdrawn. Nay, for Allah you have withdrawn, for the pleasure of Allah, for the pleasure of Allah. And what are you seeking now? Al-waslatu ila Allah. You want the closeness and the proximity. Al-waslatu, that closeness will only come after that separation. So now that they have separated, they say amongst themselves, fa'wu ila al-kahfi. Verse number 16, let's go and take shelter in a cave. Let's find a hideout. Let's go in isolation. Let's find a place where we can be to ourselves and, you know what, we away from this place. فَأْوُوا إِلَى الْكَهْفِ يَنْشُرْ لَكُمْ مِنْ رَحْمَتِهِ وَيُهَيِّئْ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَمْرِكُمْ مِرْفَقًا. And hopefully Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will favor you with His mercy and make your matters easy for you. Make your matters easy for you. So the news is out. The nation has discovered that there are youth that have alienated themselves from the common practice. They gave proof with regards to what they said, meaning in Tawheed and monotheism. The nation didn't have any proof, and they now decide to withdraw, and they then take shelter into the cave. So just a recap of that translation again. When you separated from them and from what they worshipped besides Allah, seek refuge in the cave. فَأْوُوا إِلَى الْكَهْفِ يَنْشُرْ لَكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ مِنْ رَحْمَتِهِ. Your Lord will show His mercy upon you and grant you the objectives with ease. Facilitate everything and provide it. So they withdraw and they go into the cave. Unknown to them, for now it's just like, go in and just hang out there and let's see what happens. And this again is a point as we develop and progress in this regard, is that at each stage, we are mukallaf, we are tasked to do that which is within our reach. So they needed to proclaim the truth. They proclaimed the truth. Now they have been opposed, so they seek in shelter. I mean, when they're going in the cave, there's no arrangements for food, for drink, for other related logistics. But they take in the steps forward. They take in the steps forward. How often, in a different scenario, in marriage, you know what? A husband or a prospective boy and girl have seen the need to get married. And there is, of course, basic income. There's nothing lavish. There's nothing elaborate. There's a basic house in place or a rental or an income. But you know what? Let's take the courage. Let's get married. As the verse of the Quran is that, وَأَنْكِحُوا الْأَيَامَ مِنْكُمْ وَالصَّالِحِينَ مِنْ عِبَادِكُمْ وَإِمَائِكُمْ إِنْ يَكُونُوا فُقَرَاءَ يُغْنِهِمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. If they are poor, Allah will grant them independence. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu used to say fulfill the command of Allah, يُنْجِزْ لَكُمْ مَا وَعَدَكُمْ مِنَ الْغِنَى. يُنْجِزْ لَكُمْ مَا وَعَدَكُمْ مِنَ الْغِنَى. Allah will fulfill the promise that He has made of giving you wealth and independence. So you took the first courage, I need to find a spouse. And you know, somebody said so beautifully, the boy asked his mom, when will I know that I found the right partner? And the mom said, my son, become the right partner and that will be sufficient for you. Focus on becoming the correct person. Focus on becoming the correct person and you will soon find your right partner. So it's quick to, you know, look for someone else who's ideal, but focus the energy on yourself as well. The point I'm saying is you took the courage, you got married, and at each step, how things open up. You got married and Allah opened one door, and then a child came and Allah opened one door, and so on and so forth. So they go into the cave, unknown to them what's going to happen. How will we eat? How will we sleep? What will we do? And the Quran says that they give courage to each other. That yanshur lakum rabbukum min rahmatihi, your Lord will shower His mercy upon you. Wa yuhayyi' lakum min amrikum mirfaqa, and He will make things easy, facilitate and provide. So we leave it to that note. They've withdrawn, they've arrived at the cave, and they have entered the cave. Let's see how nature intervenes to facilitate their existence as they continue to live in this cave. And what unfolds outside the cave. May Allah connect us with the beauty of the Quran. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. وصل اللهم وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، والحمد لله رب العالمين.